Welcome to Near Death Experience Podcast. I'm Chaz Hathaway. We're going to share some of the experience of Nancy Dennison. However, her experience is quite long, and so I'm not going to share it all, but I'm going to share snippets from it in what I found as YouTube videos online, and I am putting them obviously into audio form for the benefit of the podcast. And I will give as a backdrop, she was in for a mammogram, actually several mammograms, for breast cancer. And so they were doing a procedure, and something apparently went wrong.
I had 8 mammograms as part of this procedure. Because the first time, the radiologist didn't get the needle in far enough. She had to do the whole thing over again. The only medication that I was on was the local anesthetic for the skin. After the 8th set of mammograms, the radiologist left with the radiology technician. I assumed to get the films developed, and we'd been at it about an hour and a half, so I thought they were probably going to take a break. So they were gone. Shortly after they left, so did I. I was sitting there in a chair, pretty much like this one, with my arms on the rest, with this wire hanging out of my breast and my little hospital Johnny on. And all of a sudden, I felt funny. And I thought, oh, I'm going to pass out. And I tried to get up to go out the door to yell for somebody to come, but it went too fast. I couldn't get up. First thing that happened was I lost vision in the periphery of my eyesight. The color went out, and then the color gradually went out completely, and I was only seeing in black and white. Then the black and white vision started going out and tunneling down to the point where I only had vision like right out in front of me, and then it went out, and I couldn't see anything. And then I had this sinking sensation. It felt like sinking down from my head. This upsets my body to hear about it. And I was pulling out of my arms, pulling out of my shoulder, and pulling out of my neck, just sinking. And I wasn't frightened because I thought I was just going to pass out. Next thing I know, I went, whoosh, and I'm standing right there in front of my body. And I knew the body was behind me, and I went, cool, I'm in front of my body, and I'm still alive. And I didn't pass out, and I didn't know what it was, what had happened to me. I realized I was in total darkness, but it wasn't a frightening darkness. It felt like, you know, when you enter into a dark room and you can feel that there's somebody in there, maybe a cat or a dog or maybe a sleeping child, you can feel their presence. That's what this was like. I could feel the presence of one or more others around me, but I couldn't see anything. I couldn't hear anything. I didn't feel anything. My mind said, oh, I know what this is. I'm supposed to go in the light. And in the distance, there was this little tiny dot of light. And as soon as I said, I'm supposed to go into the light, whoosh, I was in the light. It was like it came to me. It just all of a sudden engulfed me. And I'm in the light, and I'm looking around, and there's nothing there. There's nothing to see. I can't hear anything. I don't feel anything. So I figure, I should probably figure out what happened to me. So I started making a diagnosis. I went through, I'm a health lawyer, and most of my clients are physicians, some hospitals. And I started going through what a physician does in their, you know, review of systems. I'm going, no heartbeat, no breathing. I can't feel heat or cold, but there may not be any heat or cold here. I can't see anything, but I know I can see. Can't hear anything. Can't smell anything. I can see through the back of my head. And then all these thoughts started coming all kinds of information about things that I might have studied at one point in time in my life. A bunch of stuff about psychology. I remember I got knowings about mental health and how American, or maybe not American, but how human physicians completely misunderstand mental illness. That it's really the manifestation through the physical body of all these wonderful spiritual powers that we have and not an illness. And I got information about physics and time, and that time is not a constant and it doesn't actually exist, and there's no time once you get outside the body, and it's just time is just a fiction of human measurement, like pounds and inches. And a bunch of other things that I don't remember. But I was aware that I was getting all this information. At the same time, I'm still doing my review of systems, and I realize I'm still me. I'm not in my body anymore, but I'm still me. I still think the same way, I feel the same way, and I have all the emotions except fear, and I realize there's no fear. I have no idea where I am, but I'm not afraid. I can feel this love and acceptance kind of going through me like a breeze, only without any movement. And it felt like I was expanding, or like kind of like I was molecules that were getting farther and farther apart, and that the love was filling in between. And I felt like my love was boomeranging back out into the light. And I realized I wasn't going to be on Earth anymore. I never once thought, oh, I'm dead, because I thought I was passed out, even though I was completely conscious. But I realized I wasn't going to be on Earth anymore. And I missed some things about Earth. I missed being able to touch. And I couldn't feel anything. No skin, no touch. I missed wind. I missed feeling sun on my skin, laying out the sun. I was my sun lizard. I missed chocolate. And I missed food in general. And I thought, wow, if I had known I was going to miss it so much, I would have eaten like a pig before I did, but, you know, while I was still in the body. I started seeing what I had really been like in life. I got all this information about how, what humans are like and what I'm like now as a spiritual being and the difference between the two. And I saw how so much of my personality as Nancy had been colored by fear. I mean, things that I thought were just normal, like working hard and getting ahead and wanting to be a success and studying hard in school and getting A's and, you know, all the things that we kind of are taught in America particularly are what we should be striving for. I saw all those things as just the expression of fear. And I was embarrassed by how I spent my life, how money-grubbing I had been. And believe me, I was money-grubbing out of fear. You know, I was always afraid there wasn't going to be enough. I got all this information about, you know, humans and what their innate characteristics are like, and that they have personalities, that they have their own emotions that are different from the emotions that we have as spiritual beings, the primary difference being fear, and all the other emotions that come off of that, revenge, hatred, lust, and just all kinds of things.
I spent a lot of time in the light just having knowledge deposited into my mind. I call them knowings. I briefly saw my physical body back in the mammography room below me. I knew at that point that I was dead. It had not occurred to me before then. I spent a little bit of time manifesting physical reality and understanding that we do in fact manifest what humans experience as physical reality. I then met five beings of light who were my dearest friends, and I recognized them. And they said to me that they ran ahead of the rest of us to welcome me home. And I understood at the point that they said the rest of us that they meant the source, because all of us are one being within source. I also understood at that point that that's where I had been prior to this incarnation into this body. I had completed all my incarnations into physical form. I had evolved my way back to the source. I had dissolved into the source, and I no longer existed as a separate personality. But for some reason, when the source was asking for volunteers, for people to come here to help with this transition to the next epoch, I said, pick me, and here I am.
Those five bodies of light, were those people you knew in this life?
No, they were my, I guess people would call them a soul group. They were the entities who were thought of at the same time I was, and I had spent my eternal life with them.
It sounds like they comforted and reassured you. Did they advise you?
No. In fact, they didn't comfort or reassure me. What they wanted is they wanted the scoop. They wanted the story of my life. They wanted to see and live and experience what I had just experienced as Nancy, because they had not been in a physical body for ages and ages.
So you were on the incoming bus, and they wanted to take that bus and turn it around and go back out.
It was a new movie on an island where there had only been one movie for ages and ages. So they experienced my life, and while they were doing that, and it was during a life review, but it wasn't the kind of life review that other near-death experiencers get, because it wasn't for my benefit, it was for theirs. While they were doing that, I fused back into the rest of my energy. I got back all my eternal memories, all the hundreds and thousands of physical lives I had lived as all different kinds of beings. And I got the more complete access to universal knowledge. I'd been getting, downloads of what I call knowings all along.
All along when?
During my near-death experience.
During this
as soon as I got into
time.
The light. Okay. Yeah, as soon as I got into the light, I started getting the knowings.
Time made no difference. It could have been 20 minutes, but it could have been 20 years. It didn't make any difference that way?
My understanding is that I lived. I mean, I completely died. I was gone from this life, and I was living in what we call the afterlife and progressing through levels of evolution very quickly, because I'd done it all before. Very quickly, just so I could get my vibration level up high enough that I could merge back into the source.
Mm-hmm.
And then my understanding is I would have dissolved into the source and been a separate personality no longer.
Mm-hmm.
But after I got, when I got this access to the rest of universal knowledge, or the entire range of it, I was feeling very cheated during my human life, that all of this simple loving wisdom had been withheld from me, that I had been indoctrinated in religious traditions that had nothing to do with what I was experiencing as true reality
mm-hmm.
of our afterlife. And so I asked universal knowledge, what's the purpose of religion, in human life? And in response to that, I saw kind of like a documentary of the entire history of the planet Earth. After seeing that, I was becoming more and more distraught with the level of information that is routinely available to people while they're in human bodies, and how unfair it was that they didn't know the simple truth as I saw it during my near-death experience. So as I was still on the train of progressing back to the source, after seeing the documentary, the next level of evolution after what we call heaven is you continue to live but without any kind of beingness to you. It's mm-hmm. just an entirely mental existence. So I merged into my five light being friends. That's how you get experiences at that level. You don't physically have them yourself. You just borrow mm-hmm. by virtual reality somebody else's. And I lived their multitudes of lives and experienced their emotions and their thoughts and everything as them. Then the six of us formed a cohesive being of six, and I experienced oneness out of six. And then we moved into the source, and I merged into the source, and as I was merging through, it's kind of like your vibration's rising, so it's kind of like through layers. I experienced sorry, the source. And I was still thinking, gee, you know, I could have done a better job at this life, and I really wish that people back on Earth knew what I'm now aware of. And I got this intense feeling from the source that even though it was my time to leave this life, and even though I was supposed to dissolve back into the source, that it loved me enough to allow me to make the choice to come back here. And zoom, I was sent back to my body, kicking and screaming the whole way. Then when I got back into the body, it was difficult getting in. Eventually I was able to say to the doctor, I passed out. And then they started, you know, taking care of me and watched me like a hawk after that. I still believe in the mission. I have to confess that I've tried to leave. I mean, not that I tried to commit suicide, but I have been ill. It's been physically demanding being back here. It's been grueling. And there have been opportunities where I could have died, or I could have left the body. The body, I think, would have recuperated. And I was, once again, given a choice. Do you want to come home, or do you want to stay? And curious being that we all are, I said, oh, I want to see what's going to happen, you know. So here I am.
You seemed to hit an emotional wall when you started to explain the initial experience of confronting what you call Source. And I felt your hesitation. I saw your tears. Can you put more words to it in an effort to explain at a deeper level what that was like?
Oh, gosh. There are no human words for it. It was the most profound, touching, humbling, exalting, loving experience. It's equal parts awe and self-confidence, maybe. It was a feeling of merging into God, what I'd always thought of as God.
And yet you volunteered to return away from that.
You know, Ted, it wasn't like I said, well, I want to go back. It was more, see, your life is directed by focus when you're in the afterlife. Whatever you turn your attention and intention to, you experience. And I had turned my attention to people on Earth and how unfair I felt it was for the truth to be withheld from them. And at some point along the way, I must have formed the intention to come back here, but it wasn't a conscious decision. My understanding it, and what I've read from other near-death experiencers, is that you get all the knowledge in your mind all at once. You know, all you have to do to be consciously aware of it is turn your focus toward it. So it's the true sensation of omniscience.
You see life differently now than you did before?
I have a very unique experience of life because I am constantly aware of who and what I am, and my body is too. My body knows there are two of us in here.
The two being?
The human animal and me.
And who's the me?
What we would call soul, the being of light, the person that I truly am, my eternal being.
So you're suggesting that we all live these two dimensions simultaneously?
That's my understanding.
And both,
yes,
are important? Both are required?
Not required, no. It's a choice to enter into a human and to share that human's life. You know, when you're an omniscient being who can manifest physical reality with just a thought, it's kind of a nice experience to come to the physical world and learn by rote and to not know all the answers, and to experience physical sensations. I mean, during my afterlife experience, I was made keenly aware of the physical sensations that I had taken for granted. I mean, just simple things like the touch of skin. When you're a spiritual being, you have no ability to touch. And I miss food. I miss chocolate. I've said that a million times, but I was surprised that I miss chocolate. I mean, I'm in the afterlife. I'm in heaven, you know. Mm-hmm. I miss chocolate. So that wasn't enough reason to bring me back here, though. But yes, both beings are important. We are the guardian of the human animals we inhabit, and they are our closest, dearest friend.
You sound like you're speaking from a sense of proprietorship for the soul self, referring to the animal self as something separate from who you are in your conscious mind.
The understanding, the very first wave of knowings that I got when I was in the light, before anything else happened, was about the fact that humans are, they're manifestations, but they are beings in and of themselves without a soul. In other words, humans are animals who are self-aware, they have intelligence, they have emotions, they have life, they have drives and instincts and memories and everything needed to be alive and to function normally in this environment on Earth. They do not need souls inside. We are not the life force of the human animals. We, on the other hand, I call beings of light, because that's when near-death experiencers, you know, describe their experience, they see these glowing beings. Well, call them beings of light. That's us. That's who we really are. And we can invest our energy, some of our energy, into a human animal as its soul. We are complete beings in and of ourselves. We have our own personalities, innate characteristics, memories, thoughts, emotions. They're similar to those that we experience in human life, but far outstrip anything that a human life has to offer. The sense of reality there far, far outweighs the sense of reality we have here. Mm-hmm. I mean, looking back at human life from that vantage point, I could not believe that I ever thought this was real. Mm-hmm. And so the same sense of unreality that we get about dreams while we're here in human form, I had while I was there about human life. So there was no doubt in my mind that it was real and that's true reality. This is a virtual reality game, a role, a play.
A dream, an illusion,
a character that I'm playing.
Would you say you were two separate beings, flesh and light and energy? Is it possible to pierce the veil that separates our light being from our flesh being? Can we be aware of both simultaneously?
I don't know if everybody can, but I am. And I think that's partly because my body caught me trying to leave on several occasions and was aware that I could leave and it would be alone here on this physical earth without me.
So once you became aware of that,
my human
duality,
became aware of that.
Yeah, you've simply retained that awareness.
Yes.
You don't question it, it's real.
It's real.
Final question. When people die, why don't more of them communicate to us from the other side?
Oh, they do all the time.
To you?
Oh, my mom and dad. I always tell them they're better parents now than they ever were while they were in the body.
Do they communicate to you?
Oh, yes. All
they
the
advise
time.
You?
They advise me.
Counsel you?
No.
Share their love with you?
Yes. And when I'm in too much pain, I can ask them to take it away, and they will. And when I'm doing my self-healing and I'm just done with a physical, I've just had it up to here with a physical problem, I will say, okay, I'm ready for this to be gone now. And I think they infuse energy into me, help me, like, boost my energy up enough that I can get over it.
Okay, that is the end of the video, as I'm going to share, of Nancy Dannison. Again, there are other videos of her if you want to get on YouTube and see them. I will link to at least the bigger portion of this one in the show notes. But yeah, you can Google her name and you can find all kinds of videos of her sharing her experience. And I will give a warning, if you're not interested in hearing my my take and some of my thoughts about this, and you just wanted to come here to hear this experience, now's the time that you're welcome to put it down, put it away, because I'm going to talk about some pretty deep ideas that I don't know if they are the case or not. There was a lot in my study of her experiences that left me kind of like, what? I don't understand. It doesn't seem to fit with a lot of other things that I've heard, and yet in other ways it kind of does. And so it's hard to take what, you know, if she was the only experience you ever heard, you might think, wait a minute, though, I thought we were individuals. I thought we were, you know, I didn't think we were just going to merge into this oneness and disappear as individuals someday. And, you know, I thought we were eternal beings, not one eternal, you know, Borg mindset, if you will. And some people may be troubled by that. And in some way, I was too, when I first looked at this. And not troubled. I shouldn't say troubled. I wasn't troubled by it. I was left wondering, I'm not sure I am willing to accept her interpretation of what she's experienced. And that's one thing that I do stress, is that in studying these things, you can't always fully trust the person's interpretation of what they experience. But at the same time, too, there's no one else to interpret it for them appropriately, because they're the one who experienced it. And so there's certainly left some room for, okay, it's okay that I don't get this. It's okay that I don't understand what exactly they experienced, because they may not be fully interpreting it properly and so forth. Or maybe they are, and I'm just not ready for what I'm hearing or understanding from what they're saying. All that said, okay, that's kind of where I was going with that. And, you know, as I was studying this and thinking, you know, what do I do with this? And not so much of what do I say about it, but where do I put this? What shelf do I set this on in my mind as to how much I believe of it, or how much does it fit with other things I understand? And so I started to dig a little bit. I actually started this several days ago. Started with the idea of having this released earlier this week, but I was like, I want to go, and because I don't know what to say about it, I don't know what to comment about it, other than to just put it up there and say that's interesting, which I could do, and that's also why I say, you know, if you just wanted the experience, there it is, and you can stop listening now. But if you want to hear my take on it, based on some things that I looked up and studied and into other experiences and so forth. And I have a few thoughts about it. Certain, I don't even know if it's fair to call them theories yet, because they are underdeveloped theories, if you will. But they branch off of a strange other phenomenon that I have noticed in near-death experiences. And that is, or a part of it is, that I've noticed that while some people, they leave the body and they look down and they have this spirit body that looks just like their regular body. Maybe it's even dressed in the same clothes. Sometimes it's in white. As some describe it, they're dressed in clothes that seem to be woven of light. And they're a clear spiritual being of substance, of maybe not physical substance, but a spiritual substance that can be seen, that can be heard. And some of them describe how physical the spirit world feels. And they put their hands in the water and they lift and the water runs from their fingers, and how real it is and how physical it feels. And they hear and they smell and they taste and they touch, and everything is so real. And yet, then you've got other experiences where they're like, there was nothing visual about this. There was nothing audible about it. There was nothing. I couldn't feel anything. Couldn't see. She talks in hers about missing chocolate and how you don't taste, you don't touch, you don't feel nothing. And there are others like her in their description of when they go out of the body, they look down at themselves and there's no body there. There's nothing there. And okay, so maybe, you know, they're just not viewing it. Maybe it's just not being manifest, whatever even that means exactly. On their mental side, they're not forming a body from their thoughts or whatever that means. You know, it's kind of unclear that way. Others, they look down, though, and they see that they're this orb of light. And previous to having studied near-death experiences, if you ask me about orbs, I would have rolled my eyes because I have done several years of photography, and people, when they take pictures, and they're like, look, there's orbs in this picture, that means there's a spirit. I know from photography experience that you can make an orb. I can take a picture right now. If you want an orb, I can take a picture right now and make sure there's an orb in it. It's simply a matter of aligning it with the reflection of light. I can choose where that orb is going to be in the picture. And so, and it's this, you know, beam of round light in the photo. And so, you know, when people talk about seeing orbs and stuff like that, and they say we even got photos of them and stuff like that, I'm like, you know, I just blew it off because I'm like, I know how to make orbs with a photograph. In fact, give me a little bit of time to tinker with things, I can make that orb any shape I want it to be. I can make it a heart, a star, you know, the shape of a person, whatever, because of, you know, playing around with the aperture and things like that. I'm not going to get into that. But the point is that the whole idea of people or spirits being orbs, I would just roll my eyes at, because I based that, you know, former knowledge on my knowledge of photography. It's very simple to do, playing around with taking photos. But, and it doesn't take, you know, special equipment to simply get a picture of an orb. If I got out a camera now, I could do it right now because the sun's shining in the window. And having a bright enough light like that, it's really easy to do. Anyway, so my idea was of orbs was just, it's photography. It's just what photography does. But when I heard experiences of these people dying and they look down and they are an orb of light, or they would see as they're dying an orb of light coming toward them, and they can tell there's a presence in that light, that this is a person and so forth. They, you know, have this experience with being an orb, you know, how, I mean, that's not a photography thing. So clearly there's more to this. In all of that study, I've come to wonder, okay, I don't quite get how this works, how sometimes you can be an orb or nothing at all, or you can be a full spirit with body parts and passions, if you will. And I don't get how this, how can these both be true? And maybe they're not, maybe they are, but let's just go with the hypothetical situation that they are both true. Let's just say both experiences were real experiences and that this is how it happened. What justification can we have for that? And there is one thought that I have that seems to make it work. And it is simply this, that there is not only a two-part to our nature, the body and the spirit, but that there is a three, at least three, part to our nature. Now, hold, you know, stay with me for a minute, because this could be confusing if you haven't either thought of this idea or come across it yourself yet. But we know clearly that that we have a physical body. We know that, you know, and even if you ask a doctor who is a complete atheist, how many parts are there to our nature? They may at first say, well, there's, you know, one part to our nature. We're just a body and so forth. And you say, okay, but would it be fair to say that your consciousness, while not separate from the body, is a separate, you know, it has a function that is separate from the body itself? And they'd say, yeah, okay. You know, it rises from the brain activity and whatever like that. And some might even go on to say, well, you could even, if you're going to, you know, stick with the science and all that stuff, you could say there's the emotional, interactive, communicational part of our being. Then there is this mental, you know, thought stream that is going on. And then the body, you know, you can break it up in different ways and so forth. And the reason I say that is because it seems that those who say in near-death experiences that they absorb into the light, and there does seem to be several near-death experiences out there where they say that ultimately after their life is over and their incarnations, if you will, often, and now that I'm thinking about it too, when they talk about reincarnation, it seems to be that there is this reference to this substance of themselves that wants to absorb back into the one all light being that is all of us and everything. You know, it's like they want to go back into this hive mind permanently, forever, eternally, and just absorb into it, no longer be an individual. That seems to be a theme with a few of these. And she, you know, Nancy's experience is clearly one of those. But there are others who go on and talk about how their spirit wants to move on to bigger and better things that do not involve the physical. And what all that entails, we can only conjecture based on what they've experienced, and none of them go terribly far beyond that because they end up back in their bodies at some point. So we don't know beyond that what that means. But if there is a third part to our nature, it could explain some things. And again, this is total conjecture. I wouldn't even call it speculation. It's just this theory that's undeveloped at this point. But what if there is a part, because, you know, we talk about God creating our bodies, which obviously, you know, if he created the earth and then started the chain, you know, of human beings that, you know, and we're born to our parents and they're born to their parents and so forth, it's fair to say that God created our bodies. We get that. That's the part of our religious nature that we get. The spirit side, as we begin to study these things, we start realizing, oh, God created our spirits too. And he did, and hence is our Father. And yet there seems to be a part of our nature that is eternal beyond that, simply because one of the things that they keep saying is that we're eternal beings. We've always existed. We've always, always existed. There was never any beginning to it. And what if that part of us that is absolutely eternal, previous to God, if you will, and yeah, you can argue that, you know, if that part is part of God, then, you know, I mean, then it's, maybe it's not fair to say separate from God, but let's just use that term in order to be able to have this conversation for a minute, hypothetically, if you will. That part of our nature which is eternal and in a sense separate from God, you could call it your consciousness, you could call it your intelligence, you could call it, you know, your deepest orb nature, whatever. I don't care what you call it, but that deepest part of our nature, let's just say that is eternal, and at some point is made into a spirit. Okay, now I would have always assumed, if I even had this idea before, I would have assumed that the spirit and this consciousness, if you will, or intelligence or whatever, once they were fused together, they would be inseparable. But what if perhaps they are not necessary? And you could say inseparable in the sense that they can't be permanently broken from one another, but what if one can experience either or both at any given time as a spirit? If that's the case, then it would explain a lot of things. For example, the spirit, if you will, and I don't know, you know, I'm just using these terms. Please don't let the semantics of the different words trip you up, but let's just call that part of yourself that you look down and you see this body and it feels and looks physical like the physical body, but is light and can fly and all those things that the spirits can do. And yet when they embrace one another, they feel it. Okay, there's that spirit self, which is in one sense closer to the physical because it feels and looks and smells and hears very similar to the physical, and yet it is also weightless, it is also non-physical, and therefore can travel, you know, ridiculous speeds and so forth, all that stuff. Then you got the physical, which is bound by the laws of physics, we get that. But then you've got this intelligent consciousness that is a third separate part of the self. If people like Nancy, when they go back, they are going back straight to that intelligent consciousness level and are not in that that spiritual form, that spirit form, then could that explain that sense of complete oneness that the consciousness seems to come from? That light that is perfect and infinite and somewhat so seems to be so connected as to almost be a hive mind sort of a thing, where it's one with eternity and not really separate at all from anything else. Then you've got the spirit that has that close connection with that conscious intelligence, so much so that even in the spirit form, they're able to experience the light. They're able to, you know, sometimes they will say that they were in the spirit form, an individual thinking, the same as the mortal thinking, and yet so much better and deeper and so forth. And then at some point in being faced with that light, they will merge into that light and kind of not be an individual again. What if they are stepping out of that spirit form back into their pure intelligent form and therefore experiencing what that pure intelligent consciousness can experience, and then they return maybe to that spirit body and then go and see loved ones and embrace them and so forth. You see where I'm going with this? We've thought of this all along in this exploration of near-death experiences. We've only ever pointed to the physical form and the spirit form. And in this spirit form, there seems to be this, not conflict, but it seems that, what some people are saying doesn't jive with what other people are saying. Well, you know, in my experience, I saw that we were individuals for eternity. And then the other, you know, but we had this oneness with all that because of our understanding of them, of our be able to read them and you know, live and love them and so forth. And then the other one saying, no, I'm going back to just become one with everything. I'm just, boom, to become one with God. And we are all God, kind of, is what you hear people say. And it's like, that seems to be in conflict, those two different ideas. But what if that's not a conflict, but rather a missing bit of information? That missing bit of information being that there is an intelligent consciousness self, there is a spirit self, and there is a physical self. If that's the case, I think it kind of brings all that together. I think it kind of makes it make sense. And yes, there's I have even more questions if that's the case, and I put it out there as a theory, the trifold nature of our being, if you will, as a theory, undeveloped as it may be, because it seems to explain some things, and just because I put it out there now, I'm going to give you some of the questions that I now have that I can't answer yet. For one thing, if there is this three-part nature to our existence, and I'm going to call the one the conscious intelligence, and then the second the spirit, and then the third the physical, if that's the case, why, when people go back and experience this intelligent consciousness form, do they want to merge eternally into the one God that is the light, that is everything in the universe, when the spirit, those that go back as spirits are going back as individuals to continue to grow and progress and become more? You know, why does there seem to be a difference there? I don't know the answer. And could it be that these three individuals, in a sense, are developing, not exactly independent of one another, but alongside each other, if you will. I don't know. So there's lots to think about and explore there. I don't know if any of it's true. I don't know if any of this idea has any basis in actual fact or not. But I put it out there as a theory because I think it explains a lot. And that's one of the things that I have, but prior to really deeply studying this, for the sake of this podcast, that's one of the things that has not troubled me, but confused me in the past. And yet this thought, this idea of the trifold nature of our existence starts to make it a little bit more sensible to me. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'd love to hear what you think of that. Or maybe you have another theory that makes even more sense. If so, please contact me. I want to hear your thoughts. I want to hear your ideas. So you can contact us either by commenting on the website, which is neardeathexperiencepodcast.org. And because people have asked me when I explain it to them, it is not Near Death Experiences Podcast, but neardeathexperiencepodcast.org, in case that's confusing. Maybe one of these days, if the podcast gets big enough, I'll buy those domains too and make sure they all point back to the original. Anyway, you can also go to neardeathexperiencepodcast@gmail.com. You can email, or you can go to the, or you can call us on the phone number, which is 970-633-2278, or in other words, 970-NDE-CAST. And once again, thank you, all of you, so much for listening.